to share with you out of the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles and a supporting verse out of Proverbs 4 and 7. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26, the Bible reads. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Supporting scripture, Proverbs 4 and 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. The base of those verses this morning, we like to use a thought or a subject. The key to life is understanding. The key to life is understanding. We encourage all of our parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles that got little ones that's rambling around that's in your midst, encourage them to get involved. They can sing, they can usher, they can dance. Many, many different things that they can do. We have a youth Bible study on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. They're welcome to come to that. We got many different things that we're trying to reach out to our young people to let them learn as much as they can about Jesus. Amen. So that we can feel like we've attempted to do what God would have us to do by our people. Because we realize that we're going to be held accountable for the things that we don't do toward them. So it is my desire and it is my prayer that our church would just reach out to our youth and to continue to pray for those that are working with them because it's not an easy task.
Amen.
But nonetheless, it's one that must be done. We cannot wait until tomorrow to take care of things that need to be done today. And we witness today how God can bless through our young people. Because God is a God that made all of us from the dust of the ground. And when he made us, we need to have a mind to just give him honor, to give him praise, to give him glory while we have a chance. Because there's going to come a time that you're not going to be able to do like you want to do. It may be in your mind, but your body won't follow. And sometimes it may not even be in your mind anymore. So you have to do what you can while you can and be thankful for whatever sanity that you have. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We have been on this journey for some time now, but we must understand this morning that it's not about us. It's not about where we sit or stand in society. It's all about Jesus. And it's the power of God that has blessed us and allowed us another opportunity to come together this morning to exalt and magnify the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. The one that we believe died on the cross for our sins. The Son of God that never did anything wrong, lived 33 years sin free, but loved us so much that he took our sins upon himself. Suffered the punishment that we were due, and we have all, as the word of God says, turned to our own way. We believe in doing our thing. But there's going to come a time when we're going to have to want to do things God's way. We have people going out of their minds trying to find peace and happiness, not realizing that everything that they need is right there in Jesus. People are wondering, what would it take for me to have a sense of joy? And all we need is to know that the Lord God is right there by our side. When we read the Bible, it's important that we understand what we read and know that if we believe and be obedient to the word of God, that God will take care of our every need. Sometimes our minds get overcrowded and we tend to be wondering and we start trying to figure out what we are going to do. Sometimes we even begin to worry, but at some point we have to let it go and let God have it. We have to learn to be patient and wait on God, because there are some things that are not going to come just when you ask for it. But a believer knows that he may not come when you want him, but he will come on time. Now, his own time may not be in your time frame, but on time is on time. And in the midst of you waiting on God to come, sometimes it seems like, Lord, are you listening? Lord, are you ever going to come? Because I need you right now. God looks down on your need, and God knows what you stand in need of. But I thank God that he has a way of just stepping in and keeping everything intact. Every time the enemy try to get you off focus or to get you off track, the Lord has a way of pulling you right back in. You got to learn how to thank God for your good days and your bad days. You got to learn how to thank God when it seems like you're not going to make, when it seems like the devil is just throwing things at you, when it seems like I've done the best that I know how to do. But it seems like that the enemy is crowding me, the enemy is mashing me down, and I can't find no peace. But I come to tell you this morning that there is peace in serving the Lord our God. God has a way this morning that he will send somebody.
Yes.
Sometimes you begin to wonder, what are you going to do? All you got to do is just wait on God.
That's right.
A lot of times we are waiting on the preacher. Don't wait on the preacher. God got somebody else.
Right.
Somebody just left your house that God sent by there, and you still waiting on the preacher.
Right.
You let your blessing walk out the door waiting on somebody else. You better recognize your blessing when it comes through. Sometimes we waiting on certain folk to bless us. I don't care who bless me. Anyway, you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. Anybody in here feel like that? Anybody in here don't mind if some other brother or sister pray for you? Other than the preachers, you ought to be glad to be able to pray for yourself. I believe I got somebody in this house this morning that is able to lay hand on themselves and say, in the name of Jesus, I tell the devil he's a lie. The Bible says that not to forsake our assembling together, but even though we got to come together, you got to know God by yourself. Sometime when you're in that house, you ought to be talking to God. Same way you run in the church house, you ought to run in home sometime. I don't need no witnesses to tell God thank you. I don't need an audience to know that God has been good to me. Anybody in the comfort of their own home just woke up and realized just how good God was? I wasn't anybody in here ever just out of nowhere right there in the house, in the living room, laying back in the recliner, and all of a sudden you began to think about how good God has been, and before you know it, you just said, thank you. Somebody else in the house wonder what in the world is going on in there. But I just want to say thank you. You have to understand that you don't have to always have the organ. You don't have to have the deacon. You don't have to have the preacher. All you need is Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. If you are going to have what we call a good life, then you got to have Jesus in there somewhere. The good life is not when you got all the luxuries of life. The good life is not when you can get on a jet and fly anywhere that you want to go. That benefits, but that's not the good life. There are some folk that may not ever get on a jet. May not ever have $10,000. But they got Jesus down on the inside. They got something to work with when things began to go wrong. They got something to lean on when it seemed like everything had fallen apart. Anybody ever found out that all you got to do is just lean on Jesus? I'm excited this morning. I'm excited, first of all, because the blood is still running warm in my veins. I'm excited this morning because some way, somehow, God touched me this morning. Allowed me to get up out of the bed one more time. And after getting up, I found that the blood was still running warm in my veins. God, excuse me this morning, but God has been too good to me. I've been excited on this day. These three little fellas, dressed up in white bow ties, suspenders, black shirt and black pants, but had something down on the inside that you can't see with your naked eye. But when God began to minister through their bodies, you could feel the presence of the Almighty God. So I want to let our young people know on this fifth Sunday morning that you are not too young to be used by God. We are not in a church where you got to wait until your time. Now is your time. Well, bear with me. Got me so worked up, I can't stay where I need to be. Let us talk a minute about life. I heard somebody say life is what you make it. Somebody else said that life is beautiful. Some would say that life is short. James asks a question and answers the question in the same verse. For he said, what is your life? Then he answers, it is even a vapor that appeared for a little while and then vanisheth away. Life, as the Bible teaches, that God, hallelujah, Jesus, took the dust of the ground, molded us into his own image, breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and after which we became living souls. And because we are living souls, we know what it is to have life. But I want to tell somebody this morning, don't take your life for granted. I'm old enough and I witnessed enough to know that the old saying that you only go around one time on this side, I'm here to tell you that is the truth. You're going to go around one time on this side. But if you die as a believer, if you understand the word of God, then you know that on the other side of death is life eternal. But now you got to make a choice in your life now where you want to spend eternity. Life is something that we should treasure. Life is something that we ought to be glad about. Anybody glad that they're living this morning? The beauty of life is not worrying about so many things, but trusting God to make a way out of no way. We have those that are worried more about and concerned more about the Joneses than they are their own business. Even in our spiritual walk, the Bible declared that every man, every woman, got to work out his own soul salvation. The Bible declared that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The Bible said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in order for us to do what the Bible said, then we got to have an understanding of what it means. Let us look here in the word of God. man of God that was blessed with an extreme degree of wisdom. As a child, he was shown favor by God. And on one occasion, the Lord appeared to Solomon. He appeared to him in a dream and he said, "Ask what I shall give thee." Solomon remembered how good God had been to his father. Solomon remembered that he was in the position of a king because of the goodness of the Lord. So the Bible said that he said in 1 Kings 3:9, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" So as we read the book of Proverbs, Solomon has grown up and experienced some things in life. If you remember the last verse of Ecclesiastes said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. To fear God and to keep his commandments, and this is the whole duty of man." But after you hear the conclusion of the matter, he comes on and says, "Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding." Do you understand what that means? Lean not to your own understanding. You don't know everything. Care how smart you are, you don't know everything. You better learn how to lean to God's understanding instead of your own understanding. Children, all of you, got a word from you from the Lord this morning. You want to hear it? Yeah. I say you want to hear it? Yeah. I say you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Come on, children, you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Thank you. There is no need to have these young people singing and dancing and they don't understand the word. Now, they are young and there's something they're not going to understand, but who said by and by we'll understand it better? So some of the things that you didn't understand yesterday, you got a better understanding today. But yet, there's still some things that you don't understand. Back to your children. The 4th chapter of Proverbs. "Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not in my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not and she shall preserve thee. Love her and she shall keep thee." Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all of thy getting, get an understanding. You got to understand what God would have you to know. Now, we got to know this morning that wisdom is all right. Wisdom is the thing that is going to help us have a successful, peaceful life. Intellect does not mean that you have wisdom. You can be a straight A student and have no wisdom. The way that that happens is you heard folk that say they got book sense, but they don't have common sense. Anybody know any folk like that? Got all the sense in the world when it comes down to taking a test. Ain't got sense enough to say good morning. Ain't got sense enough to look both ways before they cross the street. But they smart. They have no wisdom. Learning without using wisdom is a waste of good wisdom. What happens or what do we do when we don't understand the word of God? We cannot be in a position where we feel like that we have all of the answers. When we don't understand the word of God, then we ought not be ashamed to ask somebody to help us to understand. But sometimes we are too ashamed. We're too proud. We let pride get in the way because we don't want nobody to know that we don't know. But I want you to know that it's all right not to know something. God does not expect us to know everything. That's why we need him. But then there are those of us when we don't know some things, and some of us to know a few little things, we try to make people feel bad because we got a little bit of knowledge. But your little bit of knowledge without wisdom is nothing. Because if you're so smart and you way up here and you cannot reach us that are down here, you're not going to help me unless I can understand. The Bible says in the Acts of the Apostles, the 8th chapter, we have a situation here. First of all, the angel of the Lord spake unto a man by the name of Philip. And he told Philip to arise and go to the south. Go down to Jerusalem by the way of Gazar, which is a desert land. Then he arose, and as he went, he saw a eunuch, a man of God, from Ethiopia, and he had great authority. He was a treasurer, and as he was coming along, he was traveling along to Jerusalem, going to worship. As he was on his way back returning, the Bible says that he was sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. You don't never know who God has in your midst. So when you don't understand, don't be too afraid to ask somebody. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And then he said, understandest thou what thou readest? So in other words, Philip was the one that God put in place to be a help to this eunuch. Even though he was a man of God, even though he was religious, there were some things that he did not understand. So the Bible says that as he was going on the way, that the Spirit of the Almighty God, see, God's Spirit will lead you to somebody if you listen and follow. But then there are some of us, when God say go, we say why? When God say go, we say, I know what they done done. They ain't going to hear me. God didn't ask you all that. God just said go. If you follow what God said, then after you get there, God will take care of all the other little circumstances. God will work out some things. God will weed it out. God will put it in a shifter. Shake out all the lumps. Then the Bible says, after Philip ran to him and asked him, did he understand what he read? He said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. Now, what was Philip reading? The Bible says he was reading out of Isaiah. And out of Isaiah, he read, surely he had borne our griefs. And in fact, let me jump back. Verse 1 of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Here we have this man of God sitting there reading from the word of God. Who have believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. And as the root out of a dry ground, he have no form, no comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And the Bible say, with his stripes, we are healed. Now, even though we are healed by the stripes of Jesus, Isaiah realized that even in a day such as this, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all of our sins.
have been laid upon Jesus the Christ. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. As he read this scripture, the man of God said, "Do you understand what it is that you're reading?" And I want you to know this morning that in order for you to have anything in life, if you want to have eternal life and peace of mind, you got to know what it is to have a clear understanding. Understanding is when we know exactly what's going on. Understanding is when we know the meaning of what God would have us to do. And when we read here in the Word of God where this man was reading out of the book of Isaiah, and another man comes along and asks him, "Do you understand what thou readest?" The man was not ashamed to let him know that I don't have nobody to guide me. In other words, I need somebody to help me to understand. Help me to understand what the Lord would have me to do. I want to let you know this morning that if you are a child of God, you got to learn that we are nothing but sheep. And a sheep need a shepherd every day of our life. A sheep have a tendency to stray away and to do this, that, or the other. But God will watch down over the sheep. And God will take care of each and every one of us. And this man of God began to get an understanding. I'm glad that there is somebody that God will put in your midst to help you understand the Word of God. You see, you might not understand that the wages of sin is death. You might not understand that you could take faith the size of a mustard seed and move a whole mountain. How can you understand that all you got to do is have faith in God? If you got understanding, you got the key to life. For if you want life eternal, you got to understand that God is going to be by your side. You got to understand that God will never leave you all by yourself. When you get the good news that God is on your side, when you get the good news that Jesus died for your sin, then you ought to be able to share that good news. The Bible said that this eunuch was a Jew, and that you didn't believe in the power of Jesus. But because this man named Philip began to tell him about the power of God, this eunuch began to say, "Lord, I want to be baptized. I want to take on the Spirit of Christ. I want to be where God will be able to use me." The Bible said when they got down by the creek, that old man said, "Hold up right now, for I got to get out and baptize this eunuch." When he baptized him, the Bible said, he looked around and Philip was nowhere to be seen. For the Lord God had taken him away. But he didn't take him to glory. He took him to his next mission. We got to learn when God got something for you to do. God will make a way out of no way. But the key to life is to have understanding. You got to understand that you're not going to be down all the time. You got to understand that God is going to do what you ask him to do. You got to understand that don't nobody know like you what the Lord God is doing in your life. The key to life is having an understanding. Understand that you're not in it all by yourself. Understand that God sent Jesus down to die for you. Understand that he didn't stay in the grave but 3 days. Understand that he didn't even have to go. But because of the love of us, because of the love of his Father, he was on a commission to come down to the earth to die a shame for death. Jesus suffered on the cross for your sins and for my sins. He laid on him the iniquity of us all. And we got to have an understanding this morning that if it had not been for Jesus, if it had not been for Calvary, if it had not been for the blood that was streaming down his body, we wouldn't have the right to the tree of life. We wouldn't have no joy. We wouldn't have no love. We wouldn't have peace of mind. We wouldn't be able to say, "For God I live, and for God I'll die." If you want the key to life, you better get an understanding. For King Solomon said, out of all of your getting, get an understanding. Understand that you cannot do it all by yourself. You need somebody. You need somebody. And God will. God will send you somebody. That's why we got so many different churches. Because God got somebody that will help you understand. Now, there might be somebody that can sit under my ministry and not understand a thing I had to say. And that's why there's somewhere else that there is somebody that will help you understand. Then there are those that got to understand this, is that you got to do what the Word of God says do. If you just understand commitment, faithfulness, and being able to follow through. See, always putting it on the back burner, ain't gonna get it.
That's right.
Sometime or another, you gotta pull it to the front. You gotta face it head on. And you gotta say, I'm going through. I might catch going through, but I'm going through. And I'm gonna come out victorious because I am a believer in the power of God. I know that God will. I know that He will make a way out of no way. How do I know that? Because He's already made a way for me. If God did anything in your life that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it had to be Jesus. Nobody else could have done what is happening in your life if it was not for Jesus. And the key to having the good life is understanding that God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He sent His only begotten Son to die for your sins and for my sins. And if we are able to understand that His dying was not in vain, He died for a purpose, and we need to take advantage of His death, His resurrection, and the promises that He's put before us. God has promised never to leave us, never ever to forsake us. He will be right there. The key to living a good life is having a clear understanding of what the Word of God is telling you to do. When we hear the Word of God and I'm finished, take it and apply it to self. Don't point the finger and look to see who it's for. Get yours out so we can help you be the man or woman that God would have you to be. Get an understanding and be blessed.